Seek Growth Show. Okay, if you're over 50, you probably do. Although some of you younger may like to do that. Part of the appraiser's job, as you know, is to inform the person whether or not their item is authentic or a fake. And that's kind of a fun part of the show. You know, somebody brings their painting or their sculpture or whatever it is to the appraiser. And, you know, they always say, how much do you think this is worth? And they say, $10 million. And the guy says, oh, I'm sorry, that's a little bit excessive. It's only worth $1.95, you know, because it's not authentic. If we're concerned about whether things like paintings and pottery are authentic, I think we should be concerned about things that really matter, and nothing matters more than whether or not we are an authentic Christian. It should be a simple question to answer, what is a Christian? But it's not quite as simple as maybe it used to be years ago. In Western culture in this 21st century, that's not such a simple answer, what is a Christian? In America today, if you don't declare yourself to be a Jew, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Wiccan, an atheist, or a member of some cult, then you're automatically a Christian. Christian is America's default religion, as we know. Today, a person can be a Christian even if your beliefs and your behavior don't line up with biblical doctrine and values. So how do we identify whether a person is an authentic Christian? I think the best thing to do is let Jesus answer that for us, and he does so five times in Scripture. He tells us who is an authentic Christian, but interestingly enough, he never uses that word Christian. The word Jesus uses to refer to a Christian is the word disciple. Christian didn't come into vogue until the people in Antioch, as you know, in Acts chapter 11, used that word to describe the followers of Jesus, who they called Christians or Christ ones or ones belonging to Jesus. So Jesus' word for what we would call a born-again evangelical Christian is the word disciple. In the Greek language, disciple literally means learner or pupil. It means someone who studies and follows the teachings of his master, like the 12 disciples that followed Jesus. So I think a better question to ask someone, especially in our day where most claim to be a Christian, is, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you following him and his teachings? And that's why our new church motto is following Jesus and making a difference. So how do we know if someone is a disciple of Jesus? Jesus said there are five ways for us to tell. And the first way is that he believes in Jesus. Now turn to John chapter 3. I'd like you to turn to Scriptures today with me. I'm using the NIV for you, John chapter 3, and let's look at verses 11 to 18. And as I read those, kind of catch the emphasis that I place on certain words. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Catch the word that's important here? It's believe. If, according to Jesus, belief is so critical to entering the kingdom of God and having eternal life, what are we required to believe? Now, Jesus, in this portion of Scripture, is no more specific than He says, believe in Him, in the Son of Man. That is, in Himself. We're to believe in Jesus. Now, obviously, what kind of belief makes a person a disciple of Jesus? Certainly not just intellectual assent to something. As you know, James says that the demons believe and they tremble. They're not saved, of course. The kind of belief that makes a person an authentic disciple of Jesus is complete trust in Him. Now, if you have had evangelism explosion training, how many of you have gone through EE, evangelism explosion training? Okay? That's really good training. If you have gone through that, you know that they give you an illustration to illustrate this point of belief, trusting in Jesus rather than just intellectual assent, and they call it the chair illustration, which is a pretty good illustration, I think. The chair illustration simply is this. If I point to this chair and I say, okay, to someone or whatever, do you believe that that chair can hold you? Yes, I believe that. I believe that that's a sturdy chair, that it will hold me up if I sit in it. That's intellectual assent. That is the kind of faith that does not save a person from sin and make them an authentic disciple, follower of Jesus Christ. What does save if I actually go and sit in the chair? That way I'm putting my trust in the chair. I'm sitting in it. I'm putting my whole weight on it. And it actually does hold me up. That's the difference. Trusting in Jesus rather than just believing He'll save me, actually putting my whole weight, my whole faith, my whole belief in Him as my Savior, as the one who died on the cross for my sins, who rose from the grave, who is coming again, who will live in me when I trust in Him. When Jesus sees that kind of faith, that kind of actual trust that I place in Jesus Christ alone, at that point, I'm saved. I have eternal life. Jesus comes and indwells me through the Holy Spirit. I'm born again. I become an actual Christian, Christ one, a disciple of Jesus. So that belief is absolutely critical. So we have to believe in Jesus. The question is, have you? I'm assuming many of us have. But there may be someone here this morning that has not placed their full trust and belief in Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord. And I hope that before you go out of here today that you will do that. That's the critical issue. The second thing is that a genuine disciple loves other disciples. He loves other disciples. John 13, turn there, John 13. Most of these scripture references are in John. One's in the Gospel of Luke. So John 13, 33 to 35. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So to become an authentic disciple of Jesus, you've got to believe in Him. And then you demonstrate that by your love for others who are also disciples of Jesus who have believed in Him. Now, you probably know that the Apostle John, in 1 John especially, expands on this truth more than any other Bible writer. And if you'd like to, turn to 1 John. Let me give you just one section here. 1 John 4, starting with verse 7. Here's what John says. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Pretty blunt speech there, isn't it? This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So put simply, according to John, if you say you belong to God and don't love God's children whom God loves, you don't belong to God, because God loves them and He's love. So one of the marks of an authentic disciple of Jesus is that we love other disciples. We love one another. Question is, do we love one another? Not always. Not even in the church do we always love one another. Some justify their dislike of another believer in this way. Well, I love them in Jesus. Ever heard that? You really can't stand them, but you love them in Jesus. Disconnect there, isn't it? If we're honest with ourselves, there's far too much dislike for one another in the average church. Came across a video from about 10 years ago or so. I think it's about 10 years. I think it's about 2007. I'd like you to watch this. This is great.
The steps of a church in St. Paul, Minnesota. A fight outside the St. James African Methodist Episcopal Church was part of a long simmering feud.
Bright skies couldn't chase away clouds of contention that have gripped this church nearly 2 years since the Reverend Hubert Armstrong was appointed its pastor by the church's national body.
We are complaining that we feel that he is a poor church administrator and has poor people skills.
Others say Reverend Armstrong is unaccountable with church funds and doesn't consult or inform members. Attendance has dropped.
They're leaving. There's nobody here. We're not getting any money. We're losing a church. We're so indebted, it's pathetic.
This weekend, several church trustees took matters into their own hands. While Reverend Armstrong was being reappointed at an AME conference, they changed the locks on church doors. He reacted today by dismissing two trustees. Then emotions erupted.
And you have to spin it. Well, you're fine.
No, you don't.
St. Paul police officers were called to the church, but soon left when assured tempers had cooled. Later, Reverend Armstrong was handed a key. Trustees say they'll press to have Armstrong removed when the presiding elder visits in October. Pastor Armstrong vows he's not leaving.
I will serve until the bishop's ready.
You have your appointment.
I have my appointment.
I have the incorporation of the church.
Bill Hudson reporting for CBS News.
The sheriff of a South.
Now that is a great testimony, isn't it? To an unsaved world around. When that kind of thing happens. How sad. You ever wanted to slap the pastor? He's probably wanted to, won't go there, but listen. This kind of stuff is happening. And it's, as I said, a terrible testimony to a watching world. Do you have dislike or hatred in your heart toward another believer? That's a tough question, isn't it? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart or bitterness towards someone? Maybe you haven't spoken to somebody in years. I would think that now is the time to go to that person, ask their forgiveness and be reconciled to them. You need to bury the hatchet. Ever heard that expression? Bury the hatchet. I looked it up, and it comes from an event in 1680 where the Massachusetts, citizens of Massachusetts and the Mohawk Indians got together and ended their hostilities toward one another by this Indian ceremony of burying the hatchet. They buried a hatchet, and the citizens of Massachusetts buried a hatchet. They buried the hatchet. And I think there needs to be some hatchet burying that goes on in the Lord's church from time to time. So Jesus said, if we're truly His disciples, we'll love other disciples. Third thing is He holds to Jesus' teachings. John chapter 8. Turn there. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Another translation is, if you abide in My word. What did Jesus teach that we need to hold to? Well, we're so familiar with what He taught. He taught that He Himself is God. He's the Messiah, that He's our sin bearer. That He would die on the cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. That He would rise from the grave the third day, and that He would come and live in us who trust in Him through the Holy Spirit, and that He would ascend to the Father, and that He would come again one day. He taught about the Heavenly Father, that He and the Father were one, and that they were the creator of the universe, and that He served the Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father loves us. He taught about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the teacher and the comforter. He taught about us that we're lost, we're sinful, we're in need of redeeming, and we have to believe in Him in order to have eternal life. He tells us how to live. He tells us about His return. He tells us all these things. These are the things that we must hold to when we believe in Jesus Christ. If you're holding to them, if your whole life revolves around them, then you're an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. A Muslim holds to the teachings of Muhammad. A Buddhist holds to the teachings of Buddha and so forth. A Christian holds to the teachings of Jesus. Are you holding to His teachings? It's so important in our day to hold to the teachings of Jesus, because now in our day, of course, there are many ways of salvation. Not so. Not true. And, you know, we've heard about believers that are under severe persecution because they're simply holding to the teachings of Jesus. How simple not to. What a simple action it would be, wouldn't it? To just deny Him. But they won't do it. They suffer the loss of everything. They suffer the loss of their own lives, some of them, because they refuse to do anything other than hold to the teachings of Jesus. That's hard for us to identify with, isn't it? In our free society that we live in here. But people are paying a terrible price, many of them, because they hold to the teachings of Jesus. Well, fourth thing is a true, authentic disciple of Jesus bears much fruit. John 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Fruit is another way of saying the product of our lives. That's all. What is your life producing? Is it producing fruit for Jesus Christ? Is it producing righteousness? The Bible talks about the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of praise, the fruit of souls, the fruit of service. And so are we bearing fruit? All true disciples of Jesus bear fruit for Him by serving Him in some way. I would think that our goal for this church is everyone doing something, not some doing everything. Would you agree with that? Let me say that again. Everyone doing something, not some doing everything. If we're a typical church, we have some doing everything, if we're typical. Now, you don't need to do a lot, but just do something. Okay? And you're going to be asked, because we have a new church structure set up where we have ministry directors over the various ministries of the church. And these people, in days and weeks to come, are going to be descending upon you. And they're going to be scouring our congregation for people to serve on their team to help them. When one of these good folks comes to you and asks you if you could help, would you say, yes? I hope you will, because they can't do it alone. They need your help. Jesus needs your help. And if it's just a very simple thing, will you take it on? That's bearing fruit. Because the Lord will see that and He will honor you for that service that you're doing for Him. No matter what it is. There's an old hymn. I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. It's called Little As Much When God Is In It. Ever heard that song? Little As Much When God Is In It. And that's true. God will bless the little bit you do. You don't need to do a lot. Nobody's expecting that. But just do a little bit when you're asked, and God will bless you. Now, the fifth thing, as we kind of wind this up, is a mark of an authentic disciple of Jesus is one who puts Jesus first and dies to self. He puts Jesus first and dies to self. This is Luke 14. So go back to Luke, Luke 14, 26 to 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Yeah, I can do that. I can hate my brother. No. It doesn't mean that. It's not in the moral sense that Jesus uses that term, hate, father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters in his own life. Doesn't mean in a moral sense. It means to not put them before him. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Notice that in anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So a real authentic disciple puts Jesus first. They are not self-centered. They don't live only for themselves. They don't put anyone, even their wife, even their husband, even their children, even their parents, before the Lord Jesus Christ. An authentic disciple lives by the creed, Jesus first, others second, self last. That's how we live. And when I was working on this sermon, I was trying to think, have I ever known a selfless person? Have you ever known a selfless person? Think about it. I had to think and think and think if I had ever known a truly selfless person. And finally, I came up with one, and kind of surprised, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought I was right. And it was my dad. My dad was a hard-working farmer until he married my mom and she dragged him off the farm into town. And then he got a job as a carpenter. And he was a rough carpenter, what we call a rough carpenter, works on construction projects, building homes and that type of thing. And he was also a finished carpenter, but he was a carpenter. That's his profession. But so he would get up in the morning early and go to work all day, and then he would come home, grab supper quickly, and then go out to work again. And his other jobs were jobs for other people. And I never knew my dad say no, except to mom. That he did. But he never said no to anybody else. And that man worked all day from dawn till dark, serving other people with other, we called scab jobs. And not only that, but he would come home from work. I remember clearly he would come home from work all filled with sawdust, get out of his old car, and I would meet him at the car with a ball bat and a ball and a glove and say, "Dad, can you hit me some flies?" And he would go out in the field behind our house and he would do that. And then he was involved in church. He was head trustee at church. And so we would open the church doors and we would close the church after everybody was gone. He would do that. And he was a selfless person. Now, my dad wasn't perfect by any means, but he was selfless. He really served other people. And that was a great example for me. Now, here's the end of it. A disciple follows his master. So the question is, are we authentic disciples? Are we following Jesus? So the questions each of us have to ask about ourselves are simply, do I believe in Jesus? That's the starting point. Have I placed my whole trust in Him? Is my whole weight on Him? Am I only trusting in Him for salvation from sin? Nothing else. Not in me, not in the church, not in righteous actions, nothing. Am I just trusting Jesus alone? Do I love other Christians? Do I have some fence mending to do? Do I have to bury the hatchet? Do I hold to Jesus' teaching? Do I bear much fruit? Am I doing something to serve the Lord? Even if it's just small, small stuff. Once in a while, am I at least doing something? And do I put Jesus first and die to self? So how do you come out of this self-examination today? I hope you come out with flying colors. What about if a lot of these things are true of you, but not all? Are you still a disciple of Jesus? Yes, you are. But you need to commit that one area to the Lord. Ask His forgiveness. Make the adjustments that you need to make so that you can be truly an authentic follower of Jesus.